Welcome to this Monday edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk as we actually begin the week on a rather sober note. I'm Lou Anne Crane here with your host, psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. As a doctor, it's really become necessary for us to change up what we had planned for today and turn a corner to address those horrific events that occurred last Friday at Sandy Hook Elementary School in suburban Connecticut. We're all still trying to come to terms with this tragedy, and that prompted you to run into your office and get something which you had tucked away there.
That's right, Lou Anne. My heart is grieved, wounded. As others are feeling today over the killing of 20 children and six adults, mm-hmm. most of them kindergartners, yeah. 5 years old, that occurred last Friday. Senseless killing of children who had nothing to do with whatever was eating the man who did that. And I've thought about it, weighed it, and you and I talked about just coming here and sharing our hearts and some thoughts about that. And you're right. I went into my files and got something that I wrote more than 30 years ago, but it's right out of today's headlines, and I think people will see mm-hmm. the connection.
Well, why don't you read that for us, and then we'll have some concluding thoughts at the end, Doctor.
All right. Let me read. During the Reagan administration, I was invited to speak at the White House during a very special briefing on the problems of contemporary families. Having an opportunity to be there allowed me to hear three outstanding family authorities who shared the platform with me. One of them was Dr. Armand Nicolai, very well-known psychiatrist at Harvard Medical School and Massachusetts General Hospital. I wish every American parent could have heard his remarks on that day. Dr. Nicolai presented the latest studies conducted on the subject of parenting, especially as it contributes to mental health in children. The findings were startling. It is now known that emotional development in children is directly related to the presence of a warm and nurturing, sustained and continuous interaction with both parents. Anything that interferes with that vital relationship with either parent can have lasting consequences for the child. Consider the effects of divorce, for example. One landmark study revealed that 90% of children from divorced homes suffered from an acute sense of shock when the separation occurred, including profound grieving and irrational fears. 50% reported feeling rejected and abandoned, and indeed half the fathers never came to see their children 3 years after the divorce. One-third of the boys and girls feared abandonment by the remaining parent, and 66% experienced yearning for the absent parents with an intensity that researchers described as overwhelming. Most significantly, 37% of the children were even more unhappy and dissatisfied 5 years after the divorce than when they had been at 18 months. In other words, time did not heal their wounds. In summary, Dr. Nicolai said divorce brings such intense loneliness to children that its pain is difficult to describe or even contemplate. That's the real meaning of divorce. It is certainly what I think about with righteous indignation when I see infidelity and marital deceit portrayed on television as some kind of exciting game for two. Some excitement, some game. But what about parent-child separation that occurs for reasons other than divorce? Dr. Nicolai quoted research confirming that the consequences can be equally severe. In one study of fathers whose jobs required them to be away from their families for long periods of time, the children tend to experience eight specific reactions as follows. 1, anger, rejection, and depression. 2, futile attempts at reconciliation, placing phone calls and writing frequent letters. 3, fantasy experience, talking as though the fathers were there and so on. 4, irrational guilt over the father's departure. 5, a decrease in impulse control. 6, a decline in school performance. 7, low self-esteem. And 8, an increase in peer dependency. I think I understand, at least in small measure, the pain that Dr. Nicolai described. In fact, I experienced it for a short time when I was 6 years old. My mother and father left me with my aunt for 6 months while they traveled. Even today, I can remember vividly the evening they left. I sat on my mother's lap while she told me how much she loved me and how she and my father would come back for me as soon as they could. They drove away as the sun was setting, and an overwhelming sense of sorrow and loneliness settled over me. I had a lump in my throat that wouldn't go down, and I sat alone in a dark room for over an hour fighting back the tears. That feeling was so intense that its pain can be recalled instantly today, all these years later. In short, even when parent-child separation occurs for valid reasons in a loving home, the boy or girl frequently interprets parental departure as evidence of rejection, and rejection almost inevitably produces a variety of harmful emotions, from deep-seated anger to feelings of worthlessness. Then Dr. Nicolai presented evidence that was even more relevant to the majority of North American families. He explained how an overcommitted lifestyle that makes parents inaccessible to their children produces much the same effect as separation itself. Herein lies the most serious failings of mothers and fathers today. Cross-cultural studies make it clear that parents in the United States spend less time with their children than in almost any nation of the world, including the Soviet Union. For decades, fathers have devoted themselves exclusively to their occupations and activities away from home. More recently, mothers have joined the workforce in huge numbers, rendering themselves exhausted at night and burdened with domestic duties on weekends. The result? No one is at home to meet the needs of lonely preschoolers and latchkey children. Dr. Nicolai expressed regret that his comments would make many parents feel uncomfortable and guilty. However, he felt obligated to report the facts as he saw them. Most importantly, and the point of his address, was that Dr. Nicolai stressed the undeniable link between the interruption of parent-child relationships and the escalation of psychiatric problems that we are now seeing. Now, pay close attention here. One half of all hospital beds in the United States are taken by psychiatric patients. That figure could hit 95% if the present incidence of divorce, child abuse, child molestation, and child neglect continue to soar. In that event, we will also see vast increases in teen suicide, already up more than 300% in 25 years, drug abuse, crimes of violence, and problems related to sexual disorientation. That is our future if families do not come to terms with the needs of their children. Perhaps it is evident now why Dr. Armine Nicolai's comments stirred something deep within my soul. I sat on the platform of the White House briefing room, hearing a confirmation of the work God has called me to do. Enmeshed in the words of Dr. Nicolai was the reason I decided years ago to leave the full-time faculty of the University of Southern California School of Medicine, where, quite frankly, I had feathered a very enjoyable and comfortable nest for myself. The psychiatrist's concern, his warning, his empathy for lonely children and their frustrated, overcommitted parents sounded like echoes from my own mind that led me to establish the work that I have chosen. Frankly, it was a momentous decision with far-reaching consequences for Shirley and me, but we have never looked back. Mm. Now, I wrote those notes after attending the White House briefing, and it stirred something in my heart because it explained again why I've had this passion to reach out to families, but especially to children. And their vulnerability leads to problems down the road if their needs are not met early in life. And you can see from the books that I've written, most of them have been along this line. I've talked about the same thing that Dr. Nicolai has talked about here because I've seen it. Yeah. I've recognized it. It's in the literature now. This was spoken and then written down in the 1980s. It is far, far worse today. Yes. Families are coming apart at the seams. Now, I've read this account today because of the continued breakup of the family. I have pled with congressional leaders and presidents and parents to work for the preservation of the family. That has been my life's calling. And if we forget the vital role that it plays in the well-being of society, and especially the mental and physical health of children, we will certainly pay a price for it. Mm-hmm. Now, let me go back to what I just read in the words of Dr. Nicolai. And this was spoken about 30 years ago, but listen one more time to what he said. One half of all hospital beds in the United States are taken by psychiatric patients. That number has to be considerably higher today. Yeah. I don't have the figures in front of me, but I know they have risen. And in fact, all of these statistics come from the 80s when the world was a whole lot more sane and families were in better shape than they are today. He continues, that figure could hit 95% if the present incidence of divorce, child abuse, child molestation, and child neglect continue to soar. In that event, we will see vast increases in teen suicide and drug abuse and crimes of violence, crimes of violence, and problems related to sexual disorientation. This is our future if families do not come to terms with the needs of their children. I am convinced that the level of violence occurring today, perhaps the killing of 20 children last week in a school in Connecticut, when the facts are known, they very well may fit into what Dr. Nicolai said. He referred to the future and what would happen if we continue to see the deterioration of families and the relationship between parents and children. This is the future.
That's right.
This is 30 years later, and we're seeing it now, this violence that's occurring. In the 1980s, you didn't have people come in loaded with guns and ammunition and shooting 20 kindergartners and the teacher and his own mother and father. That didn't occur then. What has changed is that we're doing a lousy job of taking care of many millions of children, and they grow up angry and resentful and take that resentment out on the most vulnerable people around them. I am extremely concerned about the fact that I have not been successful in helping congressional leaders and even presidents to understand that the family is the ground floor. That is the foundation. Everything sits on that foundation. If you destroy it, if you don't pay attention to it, if you tax it into oblivion, which is about to occur again, and if the culture doesn't recognize the value of what parents do, the price they pay, then we're going to see more and more individuals growing up to occupy hospital beds and to be deeply angry. That's what I thought of. Now, I haven't had time to determine whether the man who killed all those children last Friday, it may or may not be true that he fits into this picture, but I would guess that it is.
And at the very least, Doctor, it does cause us to stop and want to reevaluate where we are as a nation. We just lived through this this summer with the shooting right up the street here in Aurora, Colorado, in the movie theater. It's happened in Columbine and, of course, at Virginia Tech. It is becoming all too common. And whether or not this description by Dr. Nicolai counts in this case is almost irrelevant. This is time for us to stop and reassess where we are as a nation.
Luann, you and I were talking before the program started today about the fact that our country really does seem in complete disarray.
Yes.
You know, I'm not talking politically. I'm not talking about the result of the November 6th election. I am saying that something has gone wrong in America, and that we have turned our back on God. I mean, millions of people have decided that either God doesn't exist or he's irrelevant to me. And we have killed 54 million babies. And the institution of marriage is right on the verge of a complete redefinition. Believe me, that is going to have consequences too. And a lot of these things are happening around us, and somebody's going to get mad at me for saying what I'm about to say right now. But I'm going to give you my honest opinion. I think we have turned our back on the Scripture and on God Almighty, and I think he has allowed judgment to fall upon us. I think that's what's going on. We're seeing things happen that didn't happen just a few years ago, and there's a reason for it. Something has gone wrong in this country. You know, in Shirley's book, Certain Peace in Uncertain Times, she quotes a scripture from Psalm 47:9 that comes to mind. And it says, "For the shields of the earth belong unto God." The shields of the earth. He protects his people and cares about them. And when we are faithful to him, when we revere him, when we read his word and try to apply it, when we're committed to our spouses and to our children, the Lord blesses us. And that's been the source of the greatest prosperity and the greatest blessing on this country of any nation in the history of the world. It didn't happen because we're just nice folks. It happened because we followed biblical principles. And if we walk away from them, as we're doing now, and turn our back on the fundamentals of the faith that has guided our forefathers, there will be consequences. And many of those consequences will occur not only with children, but with those children when they're grown up. And it will get worse before it gets better.
Unfortunately, you were citing to me the Old Testament story that we have in which God pretty much did give the people what they wanted.
It was with regard to the children of Israel wanting a king. And Jehovah had been their king. He had protected and cared for and loved the Jewish people. They were and are his chosen people. But they weren't satisfied with that. They wanted a king, and they demanded a king. And God said, "Well, you want a king? I will give you a king." And he gave them Saul, and it was the beginning of great trouble. in the land of Israel. God's got a plan for us. We know what it is because he has told us. He hadn't hidden it from us. And then he has given his only son, Jesus, to care for us so that, as it says in John 3:16, that the Lord so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus said he came to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. That's his plan for us. But there is a cooperative element to that. Our obligation is to listen to him and follow his dictates and try to spread that good news to everybody else. I feel like America has turned a corner, and Shirley and I are praying consistently for a revival.
That's right.
I don't think there is a political answer. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take a return to godly principles and to his way. And we're praying that the Lord will bring that, that the churches would come alive, those that haven't, and that there would be an outpouring of divine unction and grace and ordination on this great country. Mm. And I pray that the Lord will hear and answer that prayer.
Doctor, here in the closing moments, if I may, there are a lot of us parents who went home Friday night and we're pretty shooken up. And I guarantee you that all of us hugged our kids a little closer that night. And there is a wave of fear that could hit this land, especially amongst moms and dads. Speak to that mom and dad right now who is traumatized by this. They don't even live anywhere near Connecticut, but there's fear gripping their hearts for what is happening in this land and what that means for their kids.
You and I were in the presence of somebody today who called his wife and said, stay home today. Keep the kids home today. There's a craziness going on out there. And millions of people feel that way. You know, they're afraid to turn their backs on their kids and let them go. I mean, when I was a child, we'd take a bike ride. I was 12 years old, and we would be gone all day Saturday. We'd leave at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'd come back at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There was no danger. You know, there was no fear that somebody was going to shoot them in cold blood or rape them or abduct them. It just rarely happens. Something, Luann, has changed. And what we saw last week is evidence of it. My heart grieved like yours. It does now. I could weep over those five-year-olds, mind you.
It's a kindergarten class.
Killing five-year-olds, these innocent babies. That's what they are. They're babies.
Yeah.
And to kill 20 of them in cold blood, you've got to be a very angry person to do something like that. And especially taking it out on those who are still so innocent. Mm-hmm. So I ask our listeners to be in prayer for your own kids. Even if their physical bodies are not assaulted, their minds are being warped by what they're hearing and seeing from Hollywood and from cable television and from pornography that's in the land. It's everywhere. It's an epidemic. It's time for us to get on our faces God and say, Lord, forgive us for our sins and bring peace back to this nation.
And, Doctor, all I can do is rely on so many of those scriptures and words of hope right now. And I'm looking at Psalm 112:6. Surely he will never be shaken. 112:6. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. And, Doctor, it doesn't feel very victorious or triumphant today, but my faith is secure, and I know who holds the future, and regardless of what will come, I will trust in the Lord.
He holds the only answer.
That's right.
Luann. And we've forgotten that. May our listeners take the time today to get on your knees before the Lord and say, what would you have me do? I am yours. I belong to you. And I know who holds our hand. We hadn't planned to do this program today, but our hearts are aching today. And we just felt it was time to share our hearts and feelings with our listeners out there. And I'm glad we had this opportunity to do so.
Well, Doctor, at a time like this, I appreciate hearing your words. And thank you for coming and sharing your heart today. And we do hope that folks will go online and catch part one of Kay Wills Wima's interview that we had scheduled for today and unfortunately had to bump. Let me direct listeners to drjamesdobson.org for that. We also invite you to weigh in on Facebook. You are an important part of our online community. And at a time like this, we would like to hear how you are dealing with this news, maybe even how you are addressing it within your own family. Look for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on Facebook or go online to drjamesdobson.org and click on that Facebook tab on the right. In closing, let me just return to what Dr. Dobson said earlier about his wife Shirley's book. It's called Certain Peace in Uncertain Times. That's an excellent resource, as is Dr. Dobson's book, When God Doesn't Make Sense. Both of those are available at drjamesdobson.org or by calling 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for staying with us today as we address this sober topic. We do invite you to return tomorrow as we pick up our schedule with Kay Wills Wima. We hope to see you next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.